is basically saying, listen to me, I came from heaven, hear my words, see the miracles, repent and have faith in me. And John the Baptist, in the earlier chapter, sent his disciples across to Jesus to ask him, are you the one? And this is after John previously had said to his disciples, look, here comes the Lamb of God. And yet he was doubting. John the Baptist sent his disciples, and the Lord said to John the Baptist's disciples, listen to me. I came from heaven, hear my words, see the miracles, repent and have faith in me. Report to John, he said, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. It's pretty much paraphrasing what was in Isaiah 61, prophesied many years earlier. Jesus was saying, I'm not of this world. The kingdom of heaven is almost opposite to this world. Previously he had preached the Sermon on the Mount where he was saying, blessed are the poor. In this world the poor are not blessed. Blessed are those who mourn. That's opposite to the world. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. So Jesus was preaching a word, the word of God, the word of heaven, straight from heaven, into the hearts of the people. And this parable was related to the people to say to them, look, some will hear and some will not hear for various reasons, be it the worries of the world, be it just a closed and calloused heart. So it depends on the heart. The path was hard and worn down. They hear, but they're deceived. I've got a friend, an Italian friend, who is over here on a work visa. And I just asked him about church because in Italy, for those who've been there, they'll back me up on this, just about every hill has a cross on it. They have a very deep Catholic religion, faith, I suppose. More, the way I said, a faith in the church than a faith in the Lord, but I really have said too much even saying that, because I wouldn't for a second try to second guess what anyone's relationship is with God. And I said, have you ever thought about, you know, actually finding out who God is? And he just laughed and he said, I already know. I was brought up in a Catholic school. I was brought up in a Catholic village. I was brought up in a Catholic family. I wasn't allowed to get married unless I'd been to Mass every week. There was rules that I had to follow. And once I escaped that, I don't want to go back near it again. And I thought to myself at the time, so sad that he had been really deceived. And there's many like him. I can name a number of friends the same. Or as soon as you start talking about Jesus, even in a real kind of a knockabout way, mates that I've had for years that have been brought up in very legalistic churches, and you know, I can remember going to the beach 20 years ago with an old mate, a guy I went through school with, and as we're driving to the beach, I said to him, you know, mate, God is real. I found out God is real. You won't believe. And I looked across at him, and his eyes were just glazing over, and he was looking down. He didn't want to hear, because he'd come from that strict legalistic, in his case it was Catholic too, but it's not always just Catholic, background. The good thing is that the Holy Spirit can break through any barrier. I've seen people who have had seed sown into their life from heaven that are representative of seed falling on rock. There's a lady at the corner shop, I remember, in Grafton, And she said, "Where are you going, Richard?" I said, "I'm going to church." She said, "Oh, I've been there, done that, all tongues and Holy Spirit, all that, been there, done that, don't need it anymore." I thought, that's interesting. So the word has fallen on rock in her case, and the word, the seed hasn't taken root. And I've seen plenty of examples of people who have gone astray because of the worries of the world and the thorns that are growing up around them, and the seed, the small plant, can't get root and produce a crop. And then I've seen many with beautiful soft hearts who've received the word and gone on with it and multiplied the word. So what is that seed today? This is an interesting thing that the Lord showed me with this particular passage. The word that Jesus was preaching to the people was he was preaching himself. And you might say, it would be great to have been there, because then I would believe, my faith would be so much stronger. But I wonder where we would sit in this parable, where our hearts would be at that time. The fact is that the whole gospel hadn't been preached to those people. We are so much better off. Jesus went on to conquer death, was nailed to a cross and rose again. That's the gospel we preach. That's the seed we preach. And instead of Jesus being on the other side of a big crowd in a lake while we stand up the back, Jesus is with us always. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lloyd was wondering when I was going to bring the Holy Spirit into it, but I can't, if I stand up here, I cannot speak about Jesus without speaking about the Holy Spirit. Because I'm testimony of somebody who was touched by the Holy Spirit when I came to the Lord. I didn't actually go near a church, and I've said this before, I didn't go anywhere near a church, and I hadn't been talking to anyone about Jesus. I was driving along a road and I cried out to God himself, and I was hit by the Holy Spirit, a feeling that I can't explain. I found out actually something new about that the other day. Some of you might find this a little bit weird, I suppose. I was speaking at my sister's funeral, and as I was speaking, I found out that at that point on that road between Whippery and Grafton, 1,000 angels surrounded the car. How did I find that out? 1,000 angels. I'm not any different to anyone in this room. 1,000 angels. How did I find it out? I'll tell you the way I found it out. Sometimes when I'm speaking, particularly if I'm talking about God, I don't actually have the words that come out. And I know when it happens, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. I'm not trying to pretend I'm any different or better than anybody else. But this was one such moment. And I was explaining to a room full of people, quite a large funeral, maybe 500 people there, about how Brenda, my sister, had a faith in God. And then I went on to say, I too have this faith in God, so I'm comfortable and not thrilled that she's gone, but I know where she's gone too. I had an encounter with God, I said, and as I was starting to say I had an encounter with God, all the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I knew it was one of those moments where it wasn't me who was speaking, and I said, and 1,000 angels surrounded my car. And after I'd finished speaking, I thought to myself, I never knew that, and now I do. How would I dare say such a thing if I didn't know it for sure? Even if I knew it for sure, would I actually say it? But that's what I said. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, you see. The Holy Spirit that's available to everybody. So we even have a more powerful seed than even Jesus himself had. He went on to make our seed that we sow out of our heart even more powerful than the words he spoke himself from the boat. We are a new creation and we're born again through the seed of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Nicodemus went in John 3, went to Jesus quietly when no one else is looking, and he was a Pharisee. Couldn't be seen talking to Jesus. He went and saw him when no one else is looking, and he said, how do I enter the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. And then he said, I don't even understand about how to be born again. What are you talking about? I can't enter my mother's womb again. I can't be born all over again. And Jesus said, no one will enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. And this goes back to the whole theme of a seed, a new life. Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, making a way for believers to eternal life. A new start. A new start where our life goes on through to eternity in paradise with him. The kingdom of heaven has come to earth. And physical death is just a speed bump in the road. There might even be a handful of people here who haven't received the Holy Spirit this morning who aren't born again. I'm expecting that there's most people here are born again. But there might be someone who's walked in here this morning who doesn't know whether he's going or she's going to follow Buddhism or Christianity. They just come here to check it out. So can I just bear with me for 2 seconds while I just explain what born again means? All the people here that are born again, just bear with me. Imagine you're somebody who doesn't know anything about Christianity, right? There's going to be some here who will benefit from what I'm going to say. Jesus Christ came to save us. Save us from what? Jesus Christ came to save us from death. He took away the idea that when you die, everything is black and it's over with. And while we're here, we party and make and be happy and don't take any notice of what's going to happen after we die. He took all of that away and he said, look, here's the way to heaven. Here's the way to eternal life. But there's one proviso. There's one thing that we've got to do. To experience that amazing thing that I experienced on that road that day where 1,000 angels came and the presence of God was so palpable in the car and so amazing, and it has been ever since in various ways in my life. Here's what you've got to do. You've got to go to a quiet place and hand every part of who you are to Jesus. Every part of who you are. You've got to repent of the way you've been living your life. And you've got to start all over again with Jesus ruling your life. That's all you've got to do. And even if you don't quite understand what you're saying, your intent, your heart, must be open to the idea that from now on, you put your life in Jesus. And then you'll receive, so the Word tells us, so Jesus tells us, the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart. The seed of truth from heaven will be planted in an open heart, in a fertile open heart. And then all of a sudden you'll experience this amazing, guess what? I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm a Christian because it's a bit nerdy, but did you know that if you put your trust in Jesus, you'll experience the Holy Spirit, which is what I was telling to Tim as we were going to the beach that day, and he just looked at me like I was a weirdo. So if you're new to church and you're new to Christianity and you're searching, that's what you've got to do. And you might say, I've been in the church all of my life and I haven't felt the power of the Holy Spirit. How come you got such a dramatic conversion, Richard, and I didn't. I've been going to church all my life. How come I can't have what you have? Without exception, everybody who's ever said that to me, I can see the power of God in them. I can see the Holy Spirit in them. Who drinks coffee? Anyone drink coffee? Here's what I was trying to figure out how to say this because there's no actual way of rhyme or reason on how people receive their conversion, how people receive the Holy Spirit. So I thought it's kind of like if you've been a Christian all your life, there's going to be and you went to church with your mum and dad, and you always went to church, and you've always felt like as if you belong to God. If you're one of those people, there's going to have been a time in your life where you've really sort of given your heart to Jesus, and you didn't probably notice any difference, but everybody around you did. My own daughter, Jamie, not Lena, her older daughter, said to me one time, "Dad, I prayed that prayer 6 months ago, and I don't feel anything." And I said, "Well, I saw you change 6 months ago. You can't stop talking about God, right?" So going back to the coffee, I reckon that the long Christians, the ones that start from birth, I know most, lots and lots of people like this, they're kind of like a flat white. They've been brewing for a long time. I'm more of a latte because I got a bit of bubble, I think. Is that all right? The ones that haven't actually given their heart to Jesus and haven't had that seed planted yet, they're still the coffee grounds. They're not actually ground up yet. Anyway, I'm probably going over time. I got a fair bit more to say, but so we've been given a box of seed from heaven, the truth from heaven, and you've heard me talk about it before. It is a gift from heaven, a gift from God, this truth that comes into your heart when you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour. The treasure from heaven is explained and dotted right through the Old and the New Testament, mainly the New Testament, where the Lord talks about the power of the Holy Spirit working through various people, the disciples, and then people like Paul, etc., all through Acts and Paul's letters. And in one such letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:3, it says, "You are a letter from Christ," which applies to all of us. We are a letter from Christ, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. How about that? I think one of the things that I think when I look at the faces is that there's so much power in the room, but it's a little bit sort of pushed down a little bit, you know. I don't feel totally comfortable in full-on Pentecostal churches. You might think Richard's trying to be a Pentecostal and trying to change us into a happy clappy church. That's not what I'm doing. I just know the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God that comes into your heart when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. So it says here in 2 Corinthians 3:3, "You are a letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." It's the heart that has to be open and soft and ready for the seed from heaven to be planted by Jesus himself. And then in 4:7 it goes on to say, "This all-surpassing power is from God." It's not from us. It's not from fancy preaching. It's not from TV evangelists. It's not from. It's from God. It's from heaven. If someone speaks into your life like Nicky Gumbel or someone doing Alpha or wherever it might be a guy on a sidewalk preaching. It wouldn't matter where it's from. It's a word that God has put in the mouth of that man or woman to speak into your heart and plant that seed. Plant the seed. You know, there's been plenty of trees grown into huge trees from seed that was picked up by a bird on a path hundreds of miles away. It's not if you go out to tell someone about Jesus and you get no response, don't think the seed hasn't gone into their heart. I had a friend who was dying. Of all things, he had lupus. When I first came to Christ, I went and saw him and I said, "Mate, do you know what I found out? I found out God is real." I went on to tell him about the amazing experience I've had and how the Lord is with me. And he's a guy who I knew very, very well. And we'd drunk a lot of beer together. We'd been in all sorts of situations together. So he respected what I said. You don't have to drink beer to get respect, by the way. and he said to me after I finished my speech, he said, "I'm really happy for you, Richard, that's working for you, but it's not for me." And the sicker he got, and he was very, very sick. And me and a bloke called Stuart Crement, I know I've told bits of this story before, but I'll tell it again because it's applicable to this parable. We went and prayed for him in the PA hospital together, and Stuart kept on saying to me, "I don't know why you're dragging me along, Richard. Your prayer's just as powerful as mine. So everybody who's a born-again Christian can pray this." I said, "Mate, you've got a track record of healing people." He did. He'd been in India. The Lord had used him in a powerful way. Another story again. But so Stuart and I prayed over him, and he got well over the next month. He was discharged from hospital. And then he went back to his old way of life, which was not very nice. And then I do know now that I have told you this before. I can remember standing up here telling you about it, but it is applicable to this. So I'll just very quickly run through it again. And then he got very, very sick again, and his doctor said to him, "You're going to die." And say it in that way. The doctor said to him, "All we can do is manage it now," which means you're going to die, I think. And then he called on the name of Jesus again. And he called out to me and said, "Richard, can you come and pray for me? I'm out of here." And all of a sudden his heart became fertile, and the seed went in, and I saw him blossom and shine for Jesus. And then he went to be with Jesus. The actual change in people when they receive that fresh power and truth from heaven into their hearts is just such a blessing to see. Such a wonderful. I've seen people, the last person left on the face of the earth who was praying for a bloke called Peter was his mum. Everyone else had wiped him. He's a hopeless drug addict. Hopeless drug addict. Brought up in the church, had a foundation of faith in his heart. And drugs got hold of him so deeply that he was written off by everybody. I'd prayed with him. This is in Brisbane. Others, many people had prayed with him. And he was trying, but he was in a pit in chains and he couldn't drag himself out. You see, it's not the person. It's the devil that does this. And I give very, very little time to the devil when I'm speaking. I rarely say his name, but that's what it is. It's the powers of darkness that have dragged him down into the pit and chained him there. It's not him. It's the demonic forces of addiction that got hold of him and dragged him down there. And his mother was faithfully praying day and night for him. And he's a man about 30 years old, and on a cold, wet winter's night, he dragged himself under a bridge to get out of the rain and sleep up against the bulkhead at the back of the bridge in Brisbane, somewhere where he thought he wouldn't get attacked. Freezing cold. Along came two Fijian boys playing a guitar and singing gospel music. That was the point where the seed went back into his heart and the Lord said, "Come out of the pit." And I can stand here now and tell you, I saw that man 2 weeks later and he'd changed. The Lord changed him. Just fixed him and cleansed him and renewed him and lifted him out of the pit and cut off his chains, all in the name of Jesus. There. That's the seed. The seed has power. That's the truth. I just want to finish, because I went too long, I think. Did I? I want to finish. I want to tell you about Selma. Selma comes from Liberia in a refugee camp with hundreds of thousands of people in dusty plains of Africa, nothing to eat, two little daughters, all sorts of horrible, horrific things happening around her, cried out to God, and he came to her and rescued her and her two little girls. Rescued her. He put a barrier around her, put a shield of faith around her, filled the shield with his presence, gave her faith, gave her strength. And over a period of time got her out of there, but while she was there, no one could come near her, no one could attack her. No. All of the stuff that was going on in that camp, there was rape, there was all sorts of things, little children getting violated in all sorts of... She was protected because she had a shield of faith around her, and Jesus put it there. Right? That's Thelma. You know, she cried out to God because her heart was already fertile. She was in a desert. She had nothing. There was no thorns. There was no distractions of this world like we had. There was no thorns that were holding her back. The ground was fertile. Thelma's great. I'll get her to come here one day and with her husband Zachariah, and we'll... I'd love you to hear Thelma's testimony. It's truth. It's truth straight from heaven. It's unconditional faith that she has because Jesus saved her from death. I'm going to conclude. I'm going to finish with some dot points that God gave me to say to you and to say to me. When I speak out here, I speak to me and to you. I don't have all the clues. There is one thing that I am absolutely sure about, and that's the saving grace and love of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit, the seed of redemption that's sown into the hearts of the people that call on the name of Jesus. The power of the name of Jesus in all dominions. He has supremacy. Here's some points to take home. Number one, the most fertile ground is often found in the most desolate places. Sometimes amongst rocks and thorns, the ground is very fertile. We carry with us the most valuable and powerful treasure known to humanity, life-changing power. This seed of truth or treasure from heaven was planted in your heart by Jesus himself. Listen to him. He will show you often hidden and fertile soil and give you words to speak. Rely not on your own wisdom. Learn to hear his voice. Wait on him. And the last one's a little bit obscure. Plant seeds beside the river. The river of life is the flow of the Holy Spirit from the throne room of God. What I mean by plant seeds beside the river is this, or what Jesus means. Don't let new Christians be abandoned. The wolves will come in. Bring them into the fellowship. Bring them into the flow of the Holy Spirit. Don't leave them alone. That's what that last bit means. Plant the seed by the river. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, I pray for everyone here this morning. The touch of the Holy Spirit might fall on each one of us here this morning, Father. Oh, Father God, if there is anyone here this morning that is calling out, may they come out for prayer. And may the ones who pray for them have your words to speak into their hearts, Father. I pray for a great blessing over everyone in this room as we leave this place this morning, that we all might encounter the power of God through the Holy Spirit, the gift of grace from heaven, the blessing from heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.